I would like to welcome Michael Blazier, am I saying this correctly? who is going to talk about annual straw harvesting in the Southern Pine Plantations.
All right, thank you. I want to acknowledge my co-authors on this project, Hal Lichty and Keith Ellum, both of them are here today. I want to start my discussion with hitting on the thoughts that went into the development of this process. In the southeastern U.S. and some portions of it, harvesting straw mulch is a substantial horticultural product. It's marketed as a landscape mulch, and it can increase revenues of southern pine plantation management. Depending on market conditions, landowners can receive between $170 to $425 per hectare. On the upper end of that scale, that's getting comparable to what we get with traditional forest products for mid-rotation of pulpwood. However, that removal of straw and taking that soil organic matter away can dramatically affect soil sustainability. You're removing nutrients and the activity of removing that straw. Also, removing carbon substrates for the soil microbes, which can then impact long-term soil nutrient turnover. I want to stress that it's not just the act of removing the straw that is removing soil total organic matter from the system, because there's also a necessity to suppress the understory and the vegetation in the understory, so you have that potential for reduced rhizodeposition from that activity as well. And at this site that I'll be discussing, in a previous study, we found that the frequent trafficking of going through with straw raking equipment can compact the soil, which could maybe exacerbate any impacts on soil microbial populations due to limitation of rooting. We're conventionally recommending fertilization occasionally to remedy any nutrients that would any nutrient removals that occur during the process of straw harvesting. But it's worth considering what fertilizer sources use there. Inorganic fertilizers can replenish the nutrients removed, but you don't have any replenishment of the organic matter that would serve as microbial substrate. In many parts of the southeastern U.S., there's abundant sources of manure, which has about 45% carbon in addition to a wide suite of nutrients. In the region where this study is conducted, we have a high preponderance of poultry production facilities, and this activity of having trees more widely planted with the understory suppressed does facilitate trafficking of the tractors that could be used to apply the litter. So with those thoughts in mind, our objectives of this study were to determine the effects of annual straw raking, fertilization, and fertilizer source on microbial biomass and activity, and some key soil carbon and nitrogen dynamics. The study was conducted at the Calhoun Research Station, which is one of the LSU Ag Center's statewide network of research stations. This was done in a loblolly pine plantation that was in the condition you see there. It was planted in 1990. At the time of the study, we had 618 trees per hectare. So the stand had really reached crown closure at that point. This was conducted on soils that were characterized as NRCS series, Aura, and Savannah. These are moderately well-drained, fine, loamy, siliceous, thermic-typic fragile udults. We conducted four different treatments on this site. A control, which consisted of no straw raking and no fertilization. A raking treatment, which was annual raking of the straw. A rake inorganic fertilizer treatment, which was annual straw harvesting. Followed by annual fertilization with 193 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, 102 kilograms of phosphorus per hectare applied as a urea diammonium phosphate mixture, and we conducted a raking poultry litter treatment combination of annual straw harvest along with annual fertilization with poultry litter at that same target nitrogen rate of 193 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. The raking treatments were initiated at the site in 2000. The fertilization treatments began in 2003. These were applied to 0.1 hectare plots within two stands at the research station. The experimental design was randomized complete block with soil type as the blocking factor, and we had a total of 4 reps per treatment. In August of 2007, at a time of year where our biomass was at its seasonal maximum, we sampled soils in the top 15 centimeters for assessment of microbial biomass carbon. Those results are seen here for the control rake-only treatment, rake inorganic fertilization, and rake in poultry litter. And up at the top, we have soil pH, which was assessed at the same time. And what's key here is that we did see a significant and substantial reduction in microbial biomass carbon due to the combination of raking and inorganic fertilization. This was closely positively correlated with pH, as you can see here, with the decline of pH following the decline in biomass carbon. At the same time, we also quantified total soil carbon using a CN analyzer. You see again here for the control, rake inorganic, rake poultry litter. We can see that that rake inorganic treatment did reduce the proportion of microbial biomass carbon to the total soil carbon in there. That could be indicative of a reduction in the ability of microbes to consume carbon. We assessed microbial activity as with the dehydrogenase enzyme assay at the same time, which gives us further corroboration of that reduced ability of the microbes to consume the organic matter. As you can see here for the dehydrogenase activity in the columns for the control rake, rake inorganic, rake poultry litter, we did have a reduction in microbial activity. We also sampled soil within the same part of the soil horizon, same time, for label carbon assessment using sequential fumigation. And part of what we could extrapolate with that method was the potential turnover rate of the label carbon. And you see that graphed here against the microbial activity. And we had a significant increase in the turnover rate for label carbon with this raking inorganic fertilization. So again, adding to this evidence that we've that annual inorganic fertilizer, when applied to an annually rake treatment, did reduce the ability of microbes to consume carbon. We quantified total soil carbon on a monthly basis throughout that same year. In addition to the label carbon we assessed at that in that August period, and two things emerge here. We do see total soil carbon was declined relative by the raking inorganic fertilizer treatment relative to the raking and poultry litter treatment. We did not see any differences in label carbon among the treatments, nor did we see any difference in the ratio of label carbon to total carbon in those soils. Using the buried bag technique on a monthly basis throughout that year, we were also quantifying mineralization and nitrification as induced by these treatments, which you see here for mineralization for the control rake only, rake inorganic, rake poultry litter, nitrification for the same treatments here. And what really jumps out is that the poultry litter treatment has dramatically increased mineralization and nitrification, whereas we don't see any difference among the other treatments in mineralization or nitrification. With those same, with the pre-incubation soil that we were collecting as part of the buried bag assessment, we quantified exchangeable soil nitrogen. You see the total inorganic nitrogen here for control rake only, rake inorganic, rake poultry litter, and then the ammonium and nitrate levels for those treatments. And we do see dramatically higher total inorganic nitrogen for the poultry litter treatment. We also see a reduction in inorganic nitrogen for the raking only treatment. And really these differences among inorganic nitrogen are driven heavily by the differences in nitrate among those treatments, where you see dramatically higher nitrate for the poultry litter. We do see an increase relative to the control rake only in the culture litter or the raking inorganic treatment. So taken together, we have seen with this study that 8 years of annual straw raking has really had no impact on microbial biomass and activity or in mineralization, label carbon, total carbon. We do see some reduction in exchangeable nitrogen at the time we assess this. We are also seeing that the fertilizer source impacts microbial biomass and activity, as well as the carbon and nitrogen variables we observed in a markedly different fashion. The inorganic fertilizer, when applied to an annually raked system, reduced microbial biomass and activity, soil carbon, and the ability of microbes to turn over that label carbon, but it was characterized by soil nitrogen levels comparable to the unraked soil. The poultry litter differed in that it we had equivalent microbial biomass and activity as well as soil carbon relative to an unraked, unfertilized treatment, but we had dramatically higher nitrogen mineralization and nitrification. So certainly fertilizer source is an important consideration in a system where organic matter is being intensively removed. Certainly these results would be germane to a system similar to what we're observing here with straw raking, but I think it provides some food for thought for this idea of drawing more organic matter more intensively as part of biofuel harvesting. That concludes my talk, and I think we may have some time for questions. Yes, Rob.
I think we're going to turn the lights on.
Okay. Yes.
Well, first of all, congratulations on your promotion and tenure.
Oh, thank you. Can I repeat that in here so it's recorded? I've been promoted.
All right.
Right. Let me repeat your question or paraphrase your question for the benefit of this recording. The question was, are there sources other than urea that wouldn't acidify the soil as intensively? And actually, I'm surprised at the level of acidity that was induced by the urea. With ammonium nitrate, you may expect more acidification. Same with ammonium sulfate. So I'm a little at a loss from an inorganic fertilization standpoint to know what may have less potential to acidify the soil.
You said you used ammonium phosphate. Was it MAP or DAP?
There was some diammonium phosphate. That's correct. Yes, but the bulk of the nitrogen source was urea.
Oh, okay. And that was
intensely acidifying. Yes, it was surprising to me.
Yes.
Now the question was, did the raking include the duff layer? Let's see. It consists of a removal of all the woody debris in the month before they come in to collect the straw, and it does remove everything down to the top of mineral soil there. Yes, Eric.
Did you look at differences in pine straw yields associated with the various treatments?
The question was, did we observe differences in pine straw yields with the treatments? At this point, no, that hasn't been conducted, but it is something of interest there because that'll give us another idea of how much nitrogen is being removed with this process here. All right, thank you.
We're now officially into the discussion session. Thank you.